Are you sitting comfortably?
In these studio chairs?
Then I'll begin. Once upon a time, there was a wise old Easter bunny.
Hippity-hoppity Easter bunnies.
That bunny sounds familiar.
Just listen.
Sorry.
And the wise old bunny went around the Cambridge Breakfast Garden, leaving Easter eggs for all of our listeners.
All of them?
And our listeners heard the clues, and one lucky winner gets a special prize.
And when is this happening?
All this week on Cambridge Breakfast, weekdays from 7.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And Lucy, does everyone live happily ever after?
Of course they do.
Coming up to 9:15, we are going to do our parish pump now. Mondays on Cambridge Breakfast, we take a look around at the communities of the city and South Cambridgeshire in Parish Pump. Today, we'll hear from the Federation of Cambridge Residents Association. We're joined by Jean. And Jean, you are the secretary of FECRA. That's the Federation of Cambridge Residents Association.
That's right, yes.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about that. How many members do you have?
Well, FECRA represents 89 community groups across the city. They're not all residents associations. Some of them are friends groups or different kinds of groups, but they're all based in the community.
Fantastic. So, it doesn't really surprise me that Cambridge has many residents associations. No. There's quite a lot of a community feel out there. What is the process of setting up a residents association? Is it quite an easy thing to do?
Yes, it's very easy. I can tell you, if you would like to set one up, you just need to, I mean, we are prepared to help, you know, obviously this is what FECRA does. We try to support residents associations and help people in areas where they haven't got one to set them up. We've got a website, which is fecra.org.uk, so you can contact us through the website. We will talk to you, help you. Basically, it's just about getting some people together, having a meeting, getting a constitution set up, and off you go.
So obviously there's been lots of new communities built in Cambridge. Have you seen the numbers grow because of the new communities?
Yes, we have seen the numbers grow a lot. Partly because of the new communities, but also partly because people are really feeling rather disenfranchised. And, you know, there's a lot of issues that have upset people that they want to get involved on.
Are there those issues? Do you see trends in them, or are they all quite individual to the new community?
No, there are some issues. I mean, obviously, we had our we had over 150 people came to our AGM last Friday, and we had Robin Hambleton was the speaker, and his talk was based on his book, which is called "Creating an Inclusive City: Place-Based Leadership for a Bounded Planet," which basically he defined as being about how people can shape the place in which we live, work, and enjoy our lives. And it was quite inspiring because actually he talked about how everything has to have climate change at the heart of it, because there are environmental limits. So we have to build sustainable cities. He said he's not worried about the future of the planet, but he is worried about our future on it. And he gave us lots of good examples from around the world. He talked about Portland, Oregon, Melbourne, Freiburg, which are places that have all managed. He said they've all done this in different ways because it is all about place-based activities, but he said, but the thing that they do all have in common is that they all combine green thinking with social justice, and they've managed to achieve this through place-based civic leadership. So I think this was quite inspiring, and I think the audience really responded to this, because I think this is what we're getting, that this is what people very much want to see happening in Cambridge.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was followed by a panel discussion. We had five experts on design and the environment, and people had lots of questions to ask them and lots of ideas to put forward. And you're saying, what are the issues for people? Well, a key one that came up through lots of the questions was about growth and the concerns that there are that this area is growing too fast and without the infrastructure to support it. And people are saying this isn't sustainable for Cambridge because it's already got issues of capacity. Last week, actually, you talked to Sam Davis, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
Queen Edith's Community Forum. So she was telling you about the problems in the area of the biomedical campus, where there's huge growth and there's major traffic problems already, and
yes,
it's going to get worse. And I think that people were also saying that this is also very unequal, because it's not fair on other parts of the region, like Wisbeach, which actually really need this kind of investment, and they're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So people were coming up with ideas. They were saying things like, but why does everything have to be here? People now at work.
Here, right in the here, city right centre, which is already pretty full,
exactly,
and full of resources, but quite packed with it.
Absolutely. And they were saying, you know, now people don't all have to go into the office to work. You know, I mean, people communicate at work through WhatsApp. They have meetings on Skype. So they could be anywhere.
Yeah.
They don't have to be here. And so the same point was made about one of the issues that has a lot of residents' associations have joined us through things, not being very happy about the busways that were planned.
Yes.
You probably remember Milton,
yeah,
Road, Histon Road. They're being planned for journey time, to reduce journey times at rush hours. But people were saying, we won't be working 9 till 5 in the office in future. So it seems like rather regressive planning
quite
for the future.
Short-sighted, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And another issue that came up was that, so people were feeling there's not a sort of proper strategy, which is actually looking at what is Cambridge going to be like in the future rather than the past. People actually were saying things like Cambridge is being trashed because they're worried about the quality of some of the new developments,
mm-hmm,
like the station, for example.
Yeah, I would say about the station, though, I mean, it did need to be developed.
Yes.
I mean, it was nothing to look at when you used to get off the train. It's fairly impressive now.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a great opportunity to do something, and the original plans, you know, which people were involved in, were quite exciting. But that isn't what's happened, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, there's major problems there now with, you know, I mean, the area in front of it, which was supposed to be a beautiful plaza where people could sit out.
That's what I saw on the plans.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now it's just like the most glorified taxi rank I've ever seen.
Exactly. Yes. And I think people do feel really let down about that kind of thing. And I think people are also feeling there's a real lack of transparency about this. As you say, you saw those plans and
yeah,
you think that's what's going to happen, and then of course you sort of see what is happening and think, well, you know, how was this decided?
Mm.
And for example, an issue came up about plans for the market, which are apparently being discussed at the moment, but they seem to be going on behind closed doors.
Mm.
People were saying, well, you know, we don't know about this. But we did have, on the plus side, we did have Meredith Bowles on the panel. You've probably heard about the Marmalade Lane development at Orchard Park.
I confess,
rings
I
a bell to
not.
Me, actually.
It does, Matt. Go,
yes,
go on, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to tell us a bit
that
more about
good.
It?
Well,
it's very better from you.
He's the architect who was involved in that project. But what's really exciting about it, I think, is, I mean, it has just won an award, but I think what's... Yeah, the best thing about it really is that it does integrate housing with community facilities and green space, but that it was designed with residents.
Mm.
That's right.
Not for them.
Mm.
And that's quite, you know, radical in this area. It's and we would like to see more of that.
I was about to say, do you think that will pave the way for future developments now that's been seen as relatively successful?
I really hope so, yes. I mean, I think that, you know, this is what people would like to see happening, isn't it? I mean, another big concern... which I think they did address there, is about the pressure that we've got on green space in Cambridge.
Yeah.
Because obviously we've got increasing numbers of people here, so we've got that kind of pressure. But also, to some people, green space is empty space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just there to
waiting
be filled
to be built up
on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Filled up with things. And things that are not necessarily bad in themselves, like, you know, play equipment, climbing rocks was a big one in Romsey, BMX tracks, cycling superhighways, public works of art. You probably
so
know about the plastic
cows. So lots of great ideas. I mean, people getting together and really thinking about how can we make, like where I live, you know, just a more, the best and the most pleasant way to continue living here in Cambridge.
Yeah, I mean, and that is great. But I think that a lot of this is being funded by Section 106 money. You probably know the money that developers have to pay as
right.
mitigation.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of residents, this is actually feeling like a bit of a double whammy, because
mm-hmm.
we lose green space to development.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the money that they pay for it, things are put on the little bit of green space that we've got left, which are not necessarily the things that people want.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So if people want to find out more information or get involved in your project, how would they go about doing that? Do you have some contact details if they want to come along to a meeting?
Yes, of course. I mean, I think that we desperately want people to get more involved, because I think that accountability was another key issue. People were saying, who's making all these decisions and how can we have a say? I mean, there's lots of consultations going on, aren't there?
Right.
Have your say.
Yeah.
But people are just feeling they're not really being listened to. So, I mean, yes, obviously you can join an RA in your area. If you look at the FECRA website, you can contact us, we can tell you where is the nearest one to you. And also, I mean, obviously at the meeting there were a lot of politicians there, and we hope that they will watch the video of the event. I'll give you the link. I mean, that is on the website as well.
Brilliant.
So people can watch this and see Robin Hambleton's talk and hear the panel discussion that followed it and hopefully get involved.
Fantastic. Well, I like it. It all sounds very positive.
Thank you.
And, you know, lots. I like the idea of everyone sort of being very into the idea of sort of protecting it is where they live and the city itself. So those contact details are?
The website is FECRA, that's FECRA .org.uk.
Fantastic. So we can get in touch through that website. And do you meet a few times?
We do. We organise meetings. I mean, obviously in each area, your residents' association will be organising local meetings. I mean, I organised a hustings event last week in my area, which is Newnham. That was fantastic and was attended by like over 50 residents.
Not bad.
And Sam obviously organised one in her area. So people are organising events in their own area. But through FECRA, we also organise events like this where we get the kind of speakers that we wouldn't normally be able to get in a small local event.
Brilliant stuff. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's been a very interesting chat indeed. That was Jean, Secretary of FECRA. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cambridge 105.